Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start the show off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What are you at, boss? Welcome to the Max City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norell Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
All right, and we're back. As you can see, I am not on the set of the Max City Morning Show. We've been doing a lot of traveling lately. I'm at Father Patrick Mercury High School, but where I am, we're about to find out. Now, as you know, I don't introduce my guests, so before, the reason I don't do it is because I do a horrible job at it. So, as per usual, we're gonna let them do it. So, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name's Declan Craig. I am part of the robotics team here at Father Patrick Mercury. I am on team 5760B. And we are going to Texas to compete at the World Championship.
Okay, very cool. So, when are you going to Texas?
We're actually leaving next week, so the time is definitely running out. We're definitely on crunch time now.
Okay, so now we have two robots here. So, we have this big, huge one that's on treads. It looks like a tank. Looks like something the bomb unit would send into a building. And then we have this smaller unit. Now the smaller unit is what you're actually taking to Texas, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about this smaller unit.
Yeah, so the season started back in November for us. We've had a lot of iterations. This is the final one we are bringing. It's got quite a lovely lift here as well as the back arm and a transmission as well, like your car.
Okay, now you said something like you've made a few of these now. So when you go for these competitions, do you get like a kit on like what the rules are in regards to the parameters that you can build your robot in, or is it just like a free-for-all?
So at the beginning of the season, they release like a scope, letting us know what we can and can't do.
Okay.
But they do not release kits. They actually just give you individual parts. All this metal here has been cut according to what we thought would fit best.
Okay.
And rigged up completely by ourselves. Like, all of the individual screws and metal would come in packages by itself.
So they just send you like the raw product. So you're getting a bunch of metal, you're getting some screws, I'm assuming some computer parts and wires, and they say, okay, this is your equipment, use your imagination.
Exactly.
Wow.
So part of what our job is to do as builders is to actually come up with a design that would work.
Okay.
Build that design using the screws, cutting the metal, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And then actually testing it, wiring in the electronics, and then letting our coders turn it, make it alive.
Okay, so now let's say on your first pass you build something, you've cut the metal, and you don't like what's done.
So that actually did happen to
us.
Our first robot, it was not doing too hot. This robot would blow it out of the water.
Okay.
But that's part of what the engineering design process is about. It's about making those mistakes and then realizing that wasn't too great.
Right.
And then when you come back for your second robot, you know what worked and what didn't work, and you can nail it the second time around.
Okay, so now, are you calling the league, the people who organize this, to send you another kit, or are you using the scraps that you've already kind of cut up to make the second robot?
So,
or third or fourth, or, yeah.
Generally, the parts that worked, we'll try to recycle because they worked, and we'll try and implement that on our next robot.
Okay.
And they also don't send kits. We actually have to purchase what we believe is the right metal. So we have to go onto the website and actually choose individually what we want to purchase, and then we actually order that. So they do not send us anything other than the scope, which is released online.
Oh, wow.
So that's all done by the robotics team here at Merck.
Okay. So how do you get this competition and then come up with a robot that looks like this in regards to how do you decide how these arms go on? How do you decide like these are the tracks we're gonna use? Like, it's not just you, it's a team of players.
Yeah.
So what's that thought process? What's a team building conversation like?
So when the game's first released, we look at the points, how the points break down, what gives us the best score, and then we talk about all the ways that we can do it, just very generally. We could lift this, we could throw that, we could shoot this.
Okay.
Once we kind of come up with, we want to do this, we want to lift a goal and intake some rings, We then start getting down into the details. We actually start to think, how would we throw those rings, or how would we lift that goal? Okay. And from there, this is my second last year. I am grade 11 student.
Okay.
It's also through help from seniors, people who have been here for a long time, passing down that knowledge. Okay. And so part of my job as becoming a senior student next year is going to be all of the designs I've seen for possible challenges,
right,
to hand that down to juniors. Make sure that they have the knowledge moving forward.
Okay, okay. And so do most of the robotics team or people on the team, do you start off at a younger grade and work your way up, or do you have individuals who you find join the team kind of potentially later in high school?
We've seen it all. Okay. Actually, one of the members that's coming with us to Texas joined this year. Okay. And it's very nice having that fresh set of eyes, because they're there questioning everything. Why is this like that?
Right.
But generally recruiting juniors, grade 8 is around.
Grade 8, okay. Yeah. Wow. And so you can join pretty young.
I started in grade 8 myself.
Okay, very cool.
And then, yeah, you get really involved with the seniors, and then you really just get thrown into the competitions.
Yeah, very neat. So I went to Father Merck myself, but you couldn't come at grade 9 or grade 8. What's the youngest grade you're allowed to come to Father Merck now for junior high?
It's actually grade 7.
Grade 7. Oh, wow. I couldn't come here until grade 9. Okay. So junior high can come here. So your robotics organization, a grade or a junior high could join the team as well?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
I believe next year there is the possibility that there will be opening up different opportunities for younger students in
okay.
the robotics program.
Very cool. So for you personally, what got you into robotics?
Well, I remember one day I was just looking around the school just for things to do. I was just doing my classes, and one of my good friends, Triton Harper, he's also on the robotics team here, introduced me to the world of VEX, and I showed up. And I fell in love right away.
Okay.
With the positive energy that's here, with the challenge as well. It's awesome to come here and just brainstorm with your teammates about how you're going to do this.
Right.
Just the work energy. I just love it all.
Okay.
Everything.
Very cool. Now, I've been in this robotics room before, and I've spent a little time with previous classes or groups, so I know a little bit about this, but I think the one thing that most people at home won't recognize is this is not just like a remote control that you drive around. It has it can do that, the ability is there, but there's also programming that takes place so that it works on its own as well. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think a good way to kind of dive into that is to explain what happens when we go to Texas.
Yeah.
And when we set this robot up for a match, the first 15 seconds will be autonomous. So we have it pre-coded, and we will not touch it. It will do its own thing. It will decide its course of action, what it's going to do, all through the brain. So that's all electronically.
Right.
And that's done by our programmers. We've got quite a lot of sensors on this robot, GPS, as well as a lot of limit switches, things so that the robot gets feedback. And that really helps us when we're programming autonomously. That's
right.
How it's done.
Right. So that's another question. You're just making this too easy for me. What makes up a robotics team? Like you said, there's programmers, somebody's got to operate this with the control. I'm assuming there's got to be like a pit crew, also potentially like people who take photography. Like, what are the different components of a team for you?
So I would say, just breaking it down, bare bones, you need someone to build. You need someone that's really into that building aspect. They've got the design brain. They want to make those design changes. They can see how things are going to work. But a robot that is mechanically awesome but no wiring, it's dead. There's nothing to it.
Right.
So you also need your programmers. You need them to put the electronics on and actually bring it to life.
Right.
Instead of just
right.
having a hunk of metal.
Right.
And then as well, what we found best here is also having someone as like a communicator, or like a captain more so.
Okay.
To help communicate between both. I would call them like subsections. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The more and more people, like we have two with Triton as well. Triton I would say is like the mediator, like helping with that communication.
Okay.
He helps us build. He also helps with programming. And then as well, I think it's also great to be friends with the people that you're working with. I know.
Yeah.
It's great to just be able to have a good time.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
makes things a lot easier.
Nice. Now, you were saying at the beginning of the show, you had a certain team that you were on with like a number on it. What's that team again?
So we have 4 robotics teams here.
Okay.
And we are part of 5760B. So we've got 5760 was like the Merc number.
Okay.
And then there's A, B, C, and D.
Okay. And like, do you guys pick names that are a little bit more easier to say other from just the numbers?
So we do have names associated with the teams.
Okay.
More so we just go with the team number.
Right.
Because it's just very distinct. No one has that number.
Right.
But we are the Robo Trappers.
Okay.
That is the
and
name.
With the other four teams that are here, do you get to compete with them here? So like there's four teams building the same type of... Oh, wow.
So up in our robotics room, we actually have four completely separate teams that work. They coexist with each other. So we could build with each other, compete with each other.
Okay.
And before we go to tournaments, we know what each can do.
Okay. So when you go to a tournament, is it like the four Merc teams versus the world? Or are you also competing against one another when you go?
So we are actually competing against the Merc teams.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
We could choose to go with them in the elimination rounds because it's teams of 2v2.
Okay.
But there has been many, many times, and it happens every competition with qualifications where you will be up against your partner teams.
Okay. So it's kind of like, and I don't know if you watched a Netflix series, but Formula One, where like there's two cars, they're on a team, but doesn't mean they have to be friendly. They're competing against each other as well. Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. So you've been a part of this robotics team for quite a few years now. You have this year and then next year left. What do you think you want to do after graduating from Merc in regards to post-secondary? And does it actually involve this hobby that you've put together at all?
I'm also huge into 3D printing as well. I've got 3D printers at home.
Okay.
That kind of like automation, additive design or constructing and like CNC milling.
Okay.
I'd say my two paths right now, I'm really looking to go into engineering. I love what this engineering process and this challenge has shown me.
Right.
I'm hoping to maybe do this in the real world because I love this stuff, as well as machining. I love the idea of being a machinist, one of the tradesmen. So even in my life, if I become an engineer, I'd totally grab a CNC machine. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Now, if you're have you looked into the RAP program at all here?
I have looked into the RAP program. Okay.
Especially for like the machinists, machining.
But, I don't know. I'm young. I don't really.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. No, machining's cool. My father-in-law and my brother-in-law are actually both
awesome.
Machinists.
My cousin as well.
There you go. It's a good career, good trait to have. There's no doubt about that. All right. Cool, man. Well, another component on what I'm here today, and I guess I should have started off with this. Don't worry. I'll put it in the descriptions. Is you guys are looking for funding.
We are looking for funding.
So I was told that two of the major sponsors, we won't say who they are because we don't want to put any shade on anybody.
No worries.
But there's two major sponsors that have been helping the program for a number of years now, and that's not going to be the case moving forward. So if there are individuals, maybe a person at home or potentially even a company, how can they support your guys' program?
Well, definitely like exposure. If you think this is cool, just sharing with your friends, because someone who's in companies like that who can provide different type of aid, that definitely helps us. I would just say the exposure. I mean, it is fairly expensive for
money,
but mainly the big companies as well, because we're here to show off that they're supporting us as well.
That's right. So you guys go to competitions outside of Fort McMurray. You also do competitions in Fort McMurray. There's social media pages, right? Yeah, you guys have a number of social media pages.
We do.
So any sponsors would be getting a lot of publicity out of sponsoring you guys.
Yes.
And I'm assuming if they wanted to get in contact, they could just get in contact with Tom, that's yourself, yeah?
That would be perfect.
So through the Facebook page, which we'll link in the video. So if there's any companies or any individuals out there who want to throw a few dollars in this direction, just click on the link above. All right, my man, well, we're coming to the end of the show. But before I cut everybody loose, you get a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the lights, the camera. Have fun.
Just want to say hi, Mom. She's going to be watching this for sure. Got to plug the parents, you know.
There we go. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, man, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today. I do appreciate it. Hopefully, if you ever want to come back on the show, even after Texas, come back, maybe come to the set and we'll hear how you did.
Sounds good.
Cool. Awesome. Well, for McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, Thad, Keith, Nimmer, all the boys down at Toyota for keeping the show going and for your support. I do appreciate it. For everybody else, I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Thomas, I'm crooked now that this show's over. I need another one.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.